This is Cave Scott Allen of OTCode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Okay, now I'm talking to Hadi Hariri. God, I can't say your name. At the Software Passion Summit. And just to be clear, Hadi works for JetBrains, and JetBrains has been a sponsor of the show, and I'm a member of the Academy, so the show and I myself have benefited from JetBrains, but you're a genuinely interesting individual to talk to, so I thought it'd be interesting to ask you some questions, particularly about some of the personal projects that you work on, like Easy HTTP. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Hi, and I just want to mention that by no way have I been twisting your arm for you to do this, despite your ample involvement in JetBrains.
That's true. I ask you.
No money has exchanged hands. Yeah, Easy HTTP is a project I worked on. It actually originated because I was doing a lot of I was consuming from web services, right? And I found that configuring the web request was a pain each time. And the second problem that I was having is that all of the libraries that I was looking at required me to constantly be changing the classes that I would, like, if I would get a JSON request back, I would have to change all the data structure of the classes, right? And JSON, you know, JSON is kind of dynamic, it can change, and I was, you know, there was a lot of things involved. And so what I, on after like two projects, I started another project, which we'll spoke about in a moment. And I started to, you know, repeat myself. And I said, no, that's enough. It's time to extract some framework from this. Right. And that's where Easy HTTP came up, which is a really easy, that's why I call it easy. It's really easy to use a library to make web requests.
Okay.
And it supports all the, you know, the normal verbs of HTTP, even including patch and options. And the main benefit to it versus other systems is that it works with dynamics in C sharp, right?
Okay.
So that's a great fit for JSON. So basically what you do is if you want to get back some requests from a web service, you just do, you know, easyhttp.get, pass in the URL. And if you pass in the content type, like for example application JSON, it will make the request with application JSON,
okay,
right? If the server supports it, it will spit back to you application JSON. Mm-hmm. And then the result there, you can access in two ways. You can either do, you know, the request response dot static body and pass in a type.
Okay.
And then it'll be typecasted to the specific type, the one you're passing in.
So you'll do like a conventional mapping where the names match up?
No, not even a conventional mapping.
Okay.
You just say, you know, response, you know, result equals response dot as static body,
okay,
and pass in a type.
Okay.
And then it will cast it to that type.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So if you pass in customer, it will pair up the fields to match customer. Yes, where they match.
Where the names match.
If you don't want to do that, if you don't want to create a specific type, then you could just say get result dot dynamic body.
Okay.
And then what that will do is just give you back a dynamic type in C sharp.
Okay.
And then you can just drill in as much as you want, mm-hmm, as many levels in deep as you want, and get access to the JSON.
Okay.
So
did you have some fun then? I'm assuming you use like dynamic object or expando object and.
Yeah, I use, I've created a specific inheriting from dynamic object.
Okay.
But I'd love to take, you know, credit for this. For most of the dirty work, the plumbing is done by another library, which Easy HTTP uses, which is called JSONFX.
Oh, yeah.
And JSONFX is an amazing library. I mean,
okay,
it really is nice. And it's, you know, I was saying to you the other day that it's a shame that a lot of people in the .NET community more know about JSON.NET.
Mm-hmm.
But JSONFX has this ability to communicate with JSON talking to JSON using dynamic types.
Okay.
So I'm using that, right? And then the same get, you support that for feature, for other verbs as well. So if you do a post, if you do a put, all of these can take in dynamic objects and then just push it as JSON or encode it as XML or encode it even as a URL form encoded.
Okay.
So you can just say push this up. So you can put files using the put verb,
mm-hmm,
or you can do multi-part forms,
okay,
just pushing the, you know, the fields and then the files,
mm-hmm,
and just pushing that up to services. And all of that is just simple calls in Easy HTTP.
So when we started this conversation, you said you began to write this because you were kept reinventing the wheel trying to call these services. So what particular itches have you scratched with it?
Well, the problem was, it was the main issue I had was constantly, you know, because web request only has support for pretty much Git and post, right? And it was, I needed to do more things. And then it was all the encoding and decoding and all that. And then I started to need to do things like file uploads. And I had done this already in a project, and I had done a little bit in another project. And I said, it's time, you know, because, you know, the rule is, until you don't do 3-4 projects, don't extract a framework, right? And I said, it's time. And what I had to do is, I started on another project, which is called UTrack Sharp, which is a C# library to talk to our issue tracker, which is UTrack from JetBrains. So I was doing a C# library for that, and I thought, you know, instead of re-implementing the same thing here, let me extract a framework. So Easy HTTP was actually born out of UTrack Sharp. So I kind of stopped work on UTrack Sharp, started to push this, and at the same time, apart from the tests, I had UTrack Sharp as a consumer of it. So I actually had two guys consuming it, so it gave me a good scenario.
That's great. And so now what does UTrack Sharp, what would that allow me to do?
So UTrack Sharp is a really simple library that basically what it does is it allows you to communicate with our issue tracker. And so you can put create new issues, delete issues, get a list of issues that you are looking for, do searches for issues, etc. And it's really, really simple to use. I actually have a project up on GitHub because UTrack right now is kind of like a competitor to Jira and some of the other tools, right? One of the things that we don't have is kind of like a Kanban board. So I threw up a project the other day on GitHub, which shows how easily, just taking UTrack Sharp, in literally an hour, I put together a Kanban board, right? And with the whole drag and drop of the notes and stuff like that in an ASP.NET MVC application.
Okay.
And you can see that actually it's the UTrack Sharp makes it really easy and so powerful to just consume any type of search, paging, all this stuff is just done, you know, through the library. And that is partially enabled through the API. And I won't call it a REST API because it's not. Despite the documentation, it's not. It will be, but it's not. The HTTP API that UTrack offers. So this is kind of encapsulating that.
Okay, very good. And there's another project you have, Easy MVC. What's that about?
Oh, that was my love. So this again was born out of me having to repeat the same thing a couple of times. And I was working on some projects that needed a kind of using some of the approaches of what REST requires. In essence, it was a content negotiation and routing, right?
Okay.
And you know, ASP.NET MVC is not focused around resources. So you have a controller and you have all the different verbs, right? But the resource isn't the main focus.
Right.
And what I found again is that I had to either decorate actions constantly with verbs or spit out a whole bunch of routing entries into my routing table.
So routing for those in the States.
Sorry, routing. We call it router. So what I did is I created Easy MVC, which is a bunch of things, but the main part where I started was it's a convention-based routing.
Okay.
So what it does is you can follow the default convention or create your own. And basically it says, you know, the configuration goes, when a request comes in with the verb get, map it to an action called index. When a request comes in with the verb put, map it to a action called create.
Okay.
And with those conventions put in place, what it does is then it, when your MVC application loads, it will parse out your controllers, parse out your actions, and enter them into the routing table or routing table. Right. That was one part. The other part was putting in filters in places. So for the content negotiation to happen automatically. So when I do just a request on a normal controller, I don't have to put any logic in there to say if this is a web client or if it's a browser and the content I'm requesting is application JSON, then take the model and, you know, serialize it as JSON and spit it out.
Right, right.
All that is done with filters.
Okay.
Right.
So now instead of returning a view result, do I just return an object and you figure it out?
There was two ways that the current support and what we were adding is you could either do a view and it would figure it out. It would say, oh, you want to return a view? Okay, but I'll grab the model out of the view.
Wow, okay.
Right? And the other way is if you return an object, I'll just grab that object and spit it out for you. So the idea was to use conventions and for it to figure out that what you needed to do. But Iron Shea started to help me on this part of it, of the content negotiation. What we didn't want to do is force people to return a specific type.
Right.
So it was always going to be an action result, and it could use the action results of the normal view result, for instance.
So now today with Web API, how do you think this compares?
Well, when I heard about Web API putting in place, I kind of abandoned it because out of personal use, the projects that I needed, I used it for, right?
Okay.
And then other things came up, and you know how it is. You really want to work on something, but you just don't have the time. And this kind of fell off the radar for a little while. And I was wondering what was going to happen with Web API. Now that I've seen what's happened with Web API, I'm not too keen on it. And you know this, and we've been talking about it. The problem that I see is that now they've taken ASP.NET MVC and they've taken the Web API and they've put them under MVC. And the issue with that that I find is that it's going to push people down the path of thinking that you necessarily need to have a separate API from that of your user interface. So that you cannot actually take your user interface and use that same concept of resources when you're doing like a RESTful application. Use the same concepts of how you've oriented the resources and make that both accessible for humans as well as machines. They're kind of saying, no, actually, and it's not about having two controllers. It's about saying, no, actually, here's your API and here's your non-API, right? And there's nothing wrong with ASP.NET MVC. There is nothing wrong with Web API. Both are great products. But I don't necessarily think that you need to make that separation. Because a resource has different representations. One of them can be an HTML, another one can be a JSON, another one can be a picture. And you are smart enough and your application is smart enough to be able to make this differentiation without you actually having to force someone to do a different consumption. Because ultimately what happens, even if you extract the logic out of how that API or how that user interface is going to communicate with your rest of the system, you ultimately do end up having to maintain two systems. There are minor things that you're going to have to maintain.
Right.
And I'm not sure if that is necessary. At least it hasn't been in what I've done.
Yeah, that's a very fair point. All right, so the last topic is about something called Kotlin that has come up recently from JetBrains. What is this?
Kotlin is a language that we've come out with, which is currently in an early access program, which is currently our kind of alpha beta. And it's born out of the shortcomings that the teams have felt, because at JetBrains, the vast majority of our software is built on Java. And it comes out of the shortcomings that the different teams have felt with the Java language. So this is, there are millions of languages out there, and a lot of people say, oh, well, Kotlin is very similar to Scala. So it takes some of the things that are nice about Scala. Apparently, Scala is also not an easy language to grasp. So this is trying to become a little bit more accessible.
And Scala is primarily a functional language, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's got the whole concept of objects and everything.
Sure. Right.
It's kind of trying to fill that void, right? Now, there's a lot of people that say the JVM, that's another thing. It's targeted at the JVM.
Sure.
But during the time that it came out, from the time it came out to the first beta, public early access, we now also target JavaScript.
Okay.
Right? So you can actually deploy on the JVM or you can deploy in a browser. Or in JavaScript, and eventually server-side, right?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Sure.
With the whole Node is awesome, you get the server-side JavaScript now, yeah. Everyone knows JavaScript, except nobody does, right?
Right.
But, so Kotlin is born out of that. And it's an object-oriented language. It has nullable types. It's trying to get rid of some of the problems that Java has, like non-reference exceptions we have in .NET, etc. It's very early still. I've started to play with it.
But this is something you're using internally right now to build things on?
Right now, it's in development.
Okay.
Then we're going to start. The idea was, and I'm saying it still is that we eventually start to port our applications to use this because we got a dog food. One thing we do at JetBrains is dog food.
Yeah,
really, we do.
Good.
And people say, like with ReSharper, have you ever used this on a large code base? Well, yes, every single day. ReSharper is, right now, I think it's at 250 projects in the solution.
Wow.
So, but yeah, I'm coming back to Kotlin. Yeah, that's where it's heading. And then we're eventually going to start using it. It is an open source project licensed under Apache 2 license. We have support right now in IntelliJ. So there's a plugin for IntelliJ. We're developing a plugin for Eclipse. Okay. And we're also receiving already contributions from the community. Oh, it's thrown up on GitHub, and we're already getting forks, and we're getting patches. Oh, so it's starting to take shape.
And just to be clear then, this is something I could use to build both desktop applications or generate JavaScript to build something in a DOM?
Yeah. This is basically it's Java compatible, so it can use the Java frameworks and Java libraries. Okay. And you could target either the JVM to do desktop applications or web servers, or you could the client with JavaScript.
Okay, that sounds interesting. And thanks for stopping by and talking.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.